Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome once more to Food for the Journey. And I pray that what I have to offer today really is food for you. Take a look with me, if you can, the prophet Daniel, chapter 1, verses 1 to 6, and then 8 to 20. So this is a long reading, but listen to the work of God here. Listen to faith. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon came and laid siege to Jerusalem. The Lord handed over to him Jehoiakim, king of Judah, and some of the vessels of the temple of God. He carried them off to the land of Shinar and placed the vessels in the temple treasury of his god, small g. The king told Ashpenaz, his chief chamberlain, to bring in some of the children of Israel of royal blood and of the nobility, young men without any defect, handsome, intelligent, and wise, quick to learn and prudent in judgment, such as could take place in the king's palace. They were to be taught the language and literature of the Chaldeans. And after 3 years' training, they were to enter the king's service. And the king allotted them a daily portion of food and wine from the royal table. Among these were men of Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. But Daniel was resolved not to defile himself with the king's food or wine. So he begged the chief chamberlain to spare him this defilement. Though God had given Daniel the favor and sympathy of the chief chamberlain, he nevertheless said to Daniel, "I am afraid of my lord the king. It is he who allotted your food and drink. If he sees that you look wretched by comparison with the other young men of your age, you will endanger my life with the king." And then Daniel said to the steward, whom the chief chamberlain had put in charge of Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, "Please test your servants for 10 days. Give us vegetables to eat and water to drink. And then see how we look in comparison with the other young men who eat from the royal table. Treat your servants according to what you see." So he acceded to this request and tested them for 10 days. After 10 days, they looked healthier and better fed than any of the young men who ate from the royal table. So the steward continued to take away the food and wine they were to receive and give them vegetables. To these four young men, God gave knowledge and proficiency in all literature and science, and to Daniel the understanding of all visions and dreams. At the end of the time the king had specified for their preparation, the chief chamberlain brought them before Nebuchadnezzar. When the king had spoken with all of them, none was found equal to Daniel, Ananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, and so they entered the king's service. In any question of wisdom or prudence which the king put to them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and the enchanters in his kingdom. Brothers and sisters, I just want to point out something here in this lengthy reading. And that is, choose to do the will of God. The world offers you all kinds of things. And many times doing what people like and what God wants are all right. But put God first. What would God have me do? That's what these three young men did. Really take a look at that, because it's very easy to slip into a compromised position. What you want to be able to say in your own heart is, "I am seeking to please God." They may be little decisions. In fact, start with some of the smaller ones if you can, if you have the time to do that, and make decisions for what would God want me to do here. It will bring you not only life here, but eternal life with him. So a lot more to say on that. But let's take a look at the gospel, because the first reading was a lengthy one. This is Luke chapter 21, verses 1 to 4. When Jesus looked up, he saw some wealthy people putting their offerings into the treasury. and he noticed a poor widow putting in two small coins. He said, "I tell you truly, this poor widow put in more than all the rest. For those others have all made offerings from their surplus wealth, but she, from her poverty, has offered her whole livelihood." Brothers and sisters, God needs to be first place in our life. Well, I'm trying. Take a look at the Ten Commandments. Any way you're violating them, any way you're kind of shrugging your shoulders and say, "Oh, well, I guess I could do either thing," ask the Lord. Just ask him, "What would you have me do?" And then be still for a few moments and listen. Because this woman, it tells us in Luke, from her poverty, offered her whole livelihood. She put God first before anything. You don't have to overhaul your whole life at one shot. Start with something. Something that you know you've kind of clung to, and you know that God might not be particularly pleased with it. Begin to look. Begin to pay attention. Putting God first in your life. "Well, I go to church every Sunday. I go on holy days." Well, that's not necessarily putting God first. You can go through the motions. We can go through the requirements. But is your heart really given to God? Is he the one you want to please most? Brothers and sisters, I really urge you to pay attention to that. Raisa Maritain, who was Jacques Maritain's wife, said this: "How can I prove my companionship to God? By keeping his commandments. How can I prove my love to him? By giving myself to him from the bottom of my heart in such a way that no other love ever dwells in it. In this sense, God is jealous. He is not jealous of our friendships. On the contrary, he encourages them. But he is jealous of that particular gift of the heart, which is love, and which is total and exclusive in nature." Brothers and sisters, I hope that if God asks something of me, no matter who I love, no matter who is important to me in my life, I would say, "Lord, what would you have me do? I want to follow you, Lord." That doesn't mean, unless it's some unusual situation, doesn't mean giving up your friends, but it's the priority. I want to do what God wants. I have to say that to myself often. I want to do what God wants. And if you say that, even ask yourself that question, you will be abundantly blessed. Raisa said this: "O Lord, I have nothing to give you, but my heart I have given to you. I know that by the price it has cost me, I do not yield my heart to creatures. You keep it. You hold it sweetly unchanged. I give it to you and continually re-give it to you, this poor and wretched heart. But which is my heart, the most personal possession I have to dispose of, I give it to you. It is the share that you demanded of me at baptism, and still more at my first communion." Brothers and sisters, aspire to that. It doesn't have to be anything big or flamboyant. All those little decisions do you make in your heart. Is this pleasing to God? Is this displeasing to God? Lord, how can I follow you more closely? How can I obey you more? What's the area in my life where I say, "Well, I don't think God's against this, so I'll just go ahead and do it"? Brothers and sisters, pay attention, because there's a deviousness in all of us. We always want to compromise or make this work. And just say, "Lord, what would you have me do?" When you're up against a decision, what do you want me to do first? I need to do both these things, but what do you want me to do first? What's most important? Brothers and sisters, you will be abundantly blessed if you begin to take that pathway. Because, you know, the world, the flesh, and the devil are at us all the time. We want to please this person. We want to please this event or whatever it may be. But say, "Lord, what would you have me do?" You say, "Well, this is from the church." Good, good. But what's your motive? What's your attitude? Why are you doing that? You want to be in a position where eventually you can just say many times a day, Lord, this is for you. And if it's for him, it will be good for all your friends or many of your friends. It'll be good for others if you do what God wants you to do. So I want to encourage you, brothers and sisters, to really, really take the time. Take the time to do what God wants you to do. Brothers and sisters, since I have been recuperating, shall we say, it has in this time become more and more important to me that we do just what I've been speaking about, to want God's will, to want it God's way. And it's a challenge sometimes because you can feel, I don't know, pushed aside or a little lonely or whatever the case may be, and you can want to reach out and grab onto something. What you want to grab onto is God. Ask him. Ask him, show me the way. Help me. And if it's a need you really have, speak up. Don't hide it. But if it's just your own preference, it's just I would prefer this. Sometimes that's all right, but other times put your own preference aside for the sake of another. Be willing to serve our brothers and sisters. And that's, I don't think that's a widespread attitude. I think what's widespread is me. As somebody said to me one time, the unholy trinity, me, myself, and I. And that's what we don't want. We want it to be God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. So I'm going to encourage you, brothers and sisters, just ask God each day, help me to put you more in the center of my life. You don't have to be religious. You don't have to be a fanatic. That's what I mean by religious, when you're pious, very pious, and you want everybody to see how pious you are. That's not the goal. The goal is, Lord, I want to do your will. And sometimes that might mean caring for a neighbor or caring for someone else whom you love rather than sitting down and saying three rosaries. I really want to encourage you, brothers and sisters, take a look at this area in your own life and ask the Lord to show you what he would have you do. How can I prove my friendship to God by keeping his commandments? How can I prove my love to him? I'm saying this again because I want you to hear this. By giving myself to him from the bottom of my heart in such a way that no other love ever dwells in it. In this sense, God is jealous. He's not jealous of our friendship. On the contrary, he encourages them. But he is jealous, as I've said before, of that particular gift of the heart, which is love, and which is total and exclusive. O Lord, I have nothing to give you, but my heart I have given to you. I know that by the price it has cost me. I do not yield my heart to creatures. You keep it. You hold it sweetly enchained. I give it to you and continually re-give it to you. This poor and wretched heart, which is my heart. May God abundantly bless you and give you great grace. For a free copy of my booklet, Hope in the Midst of Suffering, please call our toll-free number 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to our website, renewalministries.net/FFJ. That's renewalministries.net/FFJ.